The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, we check in with the Lou Holtz Live Club, and Eddie Cantor celebrates his birthday on Texaco Town. We'll also enjoy an episode of Ma Perkins starring Virginia Payne from 1951. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Eddie Cantor celebrates his birthday on Texaco Town and an episode of Ma Perkins starring Virginia Payne from 1951. Right now, the Lou Holtz Live Club starring comedian Lou Holtz as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Now, here he is, chairman of the Laugh Club, Lou Holtz.
Well, thank you, thank you. And now to the business at hand. Oh, Ginger.
Hello, Mr. Holtz. How do you like this new dress I'm wearing? Isn't it sensational?
Oh, it's very nice, Ginger, but why is it so dirty?
I fell in a mud puddle on my way over here.
With your new dress on?
Well, Mr. Holtz, it happened so fast, I didn't have time to take it off.
I love that girl. Love that girl. Oh, but here's a story. Here's a little story about the Itsy Fitsy Lodge. There's a lodge on the Lower East Side in New York City, and they have a meeting every 4 weeks. And after the meeting, they give away a prize. And this night, they were giving a prize away to the most stubborn man in the lodge. The first guy to get up is Lapidus and says, "You can slip me the $15 because I am a mule." He says, "I've got a daughter. She's engaged to a boy. He came to me, he said, I would like to marry your daughter." I said, "Okay." He said, "We're going to have a wedding, orchestra, music, 11 pieces. I said, 9. He said, 11. I said, 9. He said, 11. I said, 9. He said, 11. I said, 9. I said, the marriage is off. That's 14 years ago. They're still engaged. I'm holding out for 2 pieces. The next fellow got up and says, "Well," he says, "he's pretty stubborn. He says, "but not like me." He says, "I had a toothache. Shouldn't happen to a dog. I went to a dentist. I says, 'Dennis, extract me the tooth.' He says, 'Which tooth is hurting you?' I wouldn't answer him. I told him, 'I brought the toothache. You got the education. Open up my mouth. Look around there. See what's going on.' He yanked me out of the tooth. He says, 'That's the tooth.' I says, 'No.' He yanked me out another tooth. He says, 'That's the tooth.' I says, 'No.' He yanked me out every tooth except the right one. That's 6 years ago, and the tooth still hurts me." The next fella got up. He says, "I heard the remarks of the last 2 members. They are stubborn but mildly." He says, I was born in Russia. He says, "One winter night in Russia, the worst winter we've ever known, 0 was below. 11 o'clock at night, I says, I'll go down and see my sweetheart, Fanny. I walked out on the street. By the time I walked 5 blocks, froze by me. The lips, ears, and nose are deep blue, almost a purple. By the time I got to her house, I was numb, frozen, stiff, more dead than alive. I rang the bell. She says, 'Who's there?' I wouldn't answer it. I stood there for 5 hours, froze to the sidewalk, fell over in a dead faint. They took me to a hospital. I laid there for 7 months between life and death. That's 31 years ago. She don't know to this day who rang the bell."
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the 45,000 dealers who serve you with Fire Chief gasoline and other Texaco products help celebrate the birthday of His Honor the Mayor, Eddie Cantor. Jack Renard and his orchestra start the festivities with a musical tribute to our mayor.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eddie.
person to receive many happy returns of the day, Eddie Cantor.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Say, Eddie.
Yep.
This mink coat you're wearing, is that one of your presents?
Yeah, how do you like it? Ida just bought it for me. Isn't that grand? Look at that.
But Eddie, it's a woman's coat.
That's right. Ida figures if I don't like it, she can always wear
it. You know, Eddie, that coat is gorgeous.
Huh?
Say, I wonder how many poor, dumb animals had to be skinned for this coat.
Only one, Jimmy, and here's the bill to prove it.
Eddie, do you realize that yesterday was the president's birthday, and today it's yours?
Yeah, how do you like that? I just missed being president by one day. Hey, bring in that packing case, mister. Just bring in that packing case.
Eddie,
put it down.
Eddie, wait, tell me, what's that big packing case for? Is it full of presents?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Not now, Jimmy, but afterwards.
Well, afterwards. I get it, yeah.
You know what I mean, Jimmy? People start giving you things. You can't carry them in your arms. A lot of presents. You know, a night like this, I'm a pretty popular kid.
You know, Eddie,
the
way you hint, that's pretty clever.
Yeah, Jimmy, it's a gift. Do you get it? I mean, do I get it? I mean, have you got it? Come on already. Come on. Give, Jimmy. Don't be. Come on. Yeah.
A box from Mrs. James Wellington.
Oh, thank you, boy. Here's a little something for yourself. Here.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Open it up, will you, Eddie? See what it is. Go ahead.
Oh, it's a birthday cake. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. Oh. Jimmy, let's read the inscription on the cake.
All right, go ahead.
It says, happy birthday to Eddie Cantor from Mrs. James Wallington, wife of radio's outstanding announcer, a man whose contribution to the Texaco Town program is responsible for its success. Don't you think it's time he got a raise? Nice sentiment, Jimmy. Nice sentiment.
Well, Eddie, you will admit it's a lovely cake.
Yeah.
And look, it's got strawberries on the inside.
Yeah, and a lovely raspberry on the outside. Fine birthday so far. Ida buys me a fur coat for herself, and your wife sends a cake telling me how good you are.
Now, Eddie, you know presents aren't everything.
Oh, Jimmy, get me right. It's not the intrinsic value of a gift, Jimmy, after we know each other, you know?
That's right.
But when a man's birthday comes along, it doesn't have to be a big thing, Jimmy. It doesn't have to be a 7-passenger car. A roaster, any little thing. You know what I mean, Jimmy? You know. Look, here comes another cake, Jimmy.
Another cake for Mrs. James Wellington.
Oh.
Well, read the inscription on that one.
It says, P.S. I'm sure you're old enough to realize how tough it is to get along on Jimmy's salary. Jimmy, will you get me a shortcake? I want to send her a little note. Boy, this is some birthday so
far. Telegram for Eddie Cantor. Telegram for Eddie Cantor.
Oh, here you are, young fella. At least a telegram comes in.
Well, read it. What's it say, Eddie?
It says, congratulations on your birthday. We hope you stay on CBS for the rest of your life. CBS wants you. CBS needs you. CBS can have you. Signed, NBC. Comes Jack Renaud with a big package. I'll bet that's it. Look. Hello, Jack. Come on in, Jack. Well, what have you got in the package, Jack?
6 bottles of beer, 4 turkey sandwiches, 6 hamburgers, a roast chicken, 8 hard-boiled eggs, and a leg of lamb.
But, Jack, you know I'm on a diet.
Well, what's in that box will never hurt you.
No?
No, that's my lunch.
Jimmy, I brought a packing case. You know, I could have brought an empty matchbox for what I'm getting here.
Well, Eddie, you know, it's too bad that you haven't had a present yet. Tell you what I'll do. If tomorrow's not too late,
No, Jimmy, it isn't that. It's not the present. You know, in a way, I'm like a kid, Jimmy. One likes to be remembered on one's birthday. You know, something that...
Well, wait a minute. Look, in a high hat and frock coat from the Texaco Company, George W. Voss. Hello there, Mr. Voss.
How do you do, Mr. Voss?
Mayor Cantor, many happy returns of the day.
Oh, thank you.
You've been associated with our organization since September the 20th, 1936.
Yeah.
And during that time, you have done a splendid job of entertaining the public and selling our product.
Thank you.
And so, on behalf of the Texas Company and our 45,000 dealers, at this time, I'd like to give you 3 cheers. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Pardon me. Hooray.
What's that hooray for?
That's a bonus.
Thank you so much for your appreciation. I'm going to tell the musical union to do something for you. I shall remember, especially the bonus. I remember...
Eddie.
What's the matter?
Eddie, I got a tummy ache.
What's the matter?
Oh, I got a terrible tummy ache.
That's because you ate that big lunch.
Oh, it wasn't a lunch.
No?
No, it was the 2 big marshmallows I had for dessert.
What marshmallows?
Oh, I found them on the table.
Jack, they weren't marshmallows. They were my birthday cakes. How do you like that?
Then why did it burn me?
It burned you? Well, the next time you eat a birthday cake, take out the candles. Will you please?
Eddie.
What?
Tell me.
Don't you think I'm a little pale?
A little pale? You look more like a big tub. I finally got two birthday cakes for a present and a rhinoceros eats it up. How do you like that?
Hello, Mayor Cantor.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marcus. Jimmy. Jimmy, here's my tailor.
Today's your birthday, eh?
Yeah?
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Now, Mayor Cantor, I want you to fit on this camel hair coat.
Jimmy, look at this beautiful coat. Well, my tailor didn't forget me.
Miss Lee, fix it up. Let me see now. Yeah? It looks like the sleeves are a little bit too short, long. Yeah. Well, I'll fix that.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom, it's a little bit too short. Yeah. I'll fix that, too.
And then the coat will be ready, hey?
Absolutely. Now, take it off.
All right, now, tell me, when will I have it?
Who said it's for you?
Well, why did you fit it on me?
My dummy broke down, so I'm using you. Goodbye.
Jimmy, I'm going home. I've been humiliated, embarrassed. I feel miserable. Nothing in the world could make me feel worse.
Hello, Eddie Scranton. How are you?
I've got one friend.
Hey, listen, I didn't forget your birthday.
No?
I got something for you.
Go ahead.
Happy birthday, P.U. Happy birthday, P.U. Happy birthday.
Wait a minute. Happy birthday, P.U.? It's to me. To me.
All right. Happy birthday to me and P.U. to you.
Why don't you say something nice to the audience about my birthday?
All right. I'll make a speech.
Go ahead.
My friends... Do I sound like Roosevelt?
Yeah. Oh, get away. I certainly expected something from you for my birthday.
I didn't know what to get you. I don't know.
Park your car. There's nothing. You're too good for me.
Well, that's what I got you. Nothing.
Quiet. Will you? Well, that's just what I can expect from a cheapskate like you.
Cheapskate?
Yeah?
Here's a pretty sweater for you.
Oh, it's knitted beautifully.
I knit it myself.
That's swell. Well, come on, give it to me.
I told you I knit it myself. It's cold outside.
Very nice work. That's very nice work.
Yeah, but I got something for you, Eddie Cocklepuss.
Wait a minute. Cocklepuss? Pop your cockles. Even on my birthday, you can't get my name straight. The name is Cantor. Look. C-A-N, can, like when you preserve or pickle something. And T-O-R, tore, like ripped or broken. Now, do you get my name straight?
Yeah, Eddie Broken Pickle.
I'll break your hat, I'm telling you. Parky, look, I don't mind you calling me names, but not to bring me a present.
Listen, Eddie Scranton, I'm not going to hold you in suspense any longer.
Yeah?
I got one for you. I got a sweater for you.
Yeah.
How do you like it?
Wait a minute. Is that what you got me for my birthday? A dog sweater? A dog sweater?
Stop barking. I got you some dog biscuit, too.
Park your carcass. It's a shame. It's a shame to think that one man can be so dumb.
Yeah, stop feeling so sorry for yourself.
Will you leave me alone? This is the worst birthday I've had in my entire 27 years. All right, 28. All right. Even the two cakes I got, Renard. Renard had to eat it up.
Well, shut my mouth. I knew I had something for you. A cake.
A cake?
Yeah.
Where is it?
I'll have my flunky bring it in. Come on, flunky.
Go ahead.
There you are.
I think I'll throw away the cake and eat the flunky. Say, that's a nice cake. But where are the candles?
I don't got no candles, but we'll stick in these lollipops.
Yeah. Put those in. Lollipops? What's the idea?
Well, everybody else made a sucker out of you.
Get up. A few months ago, ladies and gentlemen, I revived Irving Berlin's Alexander's Ragtime Band. Tonight, in honor of Mr. Berlin, I repeat the song. Oh, my honey, better hurry and let's meander. Ain't you going to the leader man, ragged leader man? Oh, my honey, let me take you to Alexander's grandstand, brass band. Ain't you coming along? Come on here, come on here, Alexander's ragtime band. Come on here, come on here, it's the best band. They can play a bugle call like you never heard before. So natural that you want to go to war. That's just the bestest band, whatever. Honey lamb, come on along, come on along. Let me take you by the hand. Up to the man, up to the man, who's the leader of the band. And if you care to hear the song, come on here, come on here, Alexander's Ragtime Band.
Alexander's ragtime band was Irving Berlin's earliest success. His latest achievement is the writing of the 6 song hits from the 20th Century Fox picture On the Avenue. The other day at the Fox studio, I met Irving Berlin. I told him that today was my birthday, and he said, Eddie, I'd like to come over and pay my respects. And so with great pride, I present my good friend, the greatest writer of popular songs in the world, Irving Berlin.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Eddie. I've known you for a good many years, Eddie, and it's a great honor and a privilege to be able to stand up here and tell your radio audience...
Now, Irving, don't lay it on too thick, you know.
Don't be modest, Eddie. Of course, if you'd rather have me keep quiet...
No. Go right ahead.
Well, I just want to say that it's a great privilege to tell your radio audience tonight that, in my opinion, the greatest... The most enjoyable...
Now, Irving.
Most completely satisfying bit of entertainment ever offered the public is the picture On the Avenue produced by 20th Century Fox opening February 4th at the Radio City Music Hall.
But, Irving, look, just a minute. Don't you know what day this
yes,
is?
Yes, I do, Eddie. This is the 31st of January, just 4 days before On the Avenue opens at the Radio City Music Hall. Lyrics and music by
Irving. Look at my puss. This is my birthday.
Well, I'm sorry, Eddie, I forgot. Congratulations. How old are you?
It's a lie. Look, what's the difference, Irving? A man is as old as it feels. Oh, look,
that's right.
Let's go back to talking about your picture, you know. I did see it at the studio Friday night.
That's fine.
And I think it's swell. Tell me, which one of the 6 songs is your favorite?
Well, that's hard to say, Eddie. It would be just the same as asking you which of your 5 daughters was your favorite.
Well, I have a favorite, the one that spends the least amount of money.
Now, I think we've heard enough about the picture, Eddie. Let's talk more about your birthday.
All right.
You see, I didn't know you were celebrating your birthday today, and I brought you a little surprise gift.
At last, a birthday present. But, Irving, you shouldn't have done it. You know, you embarrass me.
But, Eddie, I insist.
Well, if you insist...
Okay. As a little birthday present, I'll sing a chorus of You're Laughing at Me, which is one of the songs from On the Avenue...
A 20th Century Fox production opening at the radio...
You're laughing at me. I can't be sentimental for you're laughing at me, I know. I want to be romantic, but I haven't a chance. You've got a sense of humor, and humor is death to romance. You're laughing at me. Why do you think it's funny when I say that I love you so? You've got me worried and I'm all at sea. So while I'm crying for you...
If I were you, I'd just write the song to let us sing him. You know, I think...
You know, you shouldn't kid me, Eddie. Remember... You and I were both singing waiters once.
That's right. You were a singing waiter in Chinatown, and I was one in Coney Island. I'll never forget, Irving, when I sang Alexander's Ragtime Band for the first time, and you came down to hear me. Golly, I was a kid.
You can think that far back?
Yes. And I'll never forget when you slipped me $0.50 as a tip, and I gave it to a little baby girl... who was in a baby carriage outside the cafe.
That's right. I saw you do it, Eddie. I remember very well. And who'd have thought that that little baby would grow up to be Sophie Tucker? Oh.
I knew it was such a good line, I'd have used it myself. Irving, I'm going to turn the other cheek and sing one of the songs from your picture, providing you play the piano for me.
Go ahead.
Put on your slumming clothes and get your car. Let's go sightseeing where the high-tone people are. Come on, there's lots of fun in store for you. See how the other half lives on Park Avenue. Let's go slumming. Take me slumming. Let's go slumming on Park Avenue.
Let us hide behind a pair of fancy glasses and make faces when a member of the classes passes. Let's go smelling where they're dwelling, sniffing everything the way they do. Let us go to it, they do it, why can't we do it too? Let's go slumming, snow slumming at Park Avenue. Let's go slumming, take me slumming. Let's go slumming on Park Avenue. Irving, honestly, you know, I'm thrilled with your being here tonight. It gives me a warm feeling to know that two skinny guys who started out from the east side of New York many years ago are playing together tonight before millions of people. Irving, this is truly a land of opportunity. Think, you have written songs which have been played and sung the world over, and
Eddie, the joy you have brought people is no small contribution in itself.
Oh, let's talk a little bit about the things to come. Irving, I can see the not-too-distant future just as plain. I can see a blaze of glory, a light just as bright as the brightest stars, and they seem to say...
On the avenue now playing Radio City Music Hall...
Take them off, Renard. Take them off, will you please? Take them off.
Wallington, did you see those fire engines just go by?
Did I? I'll say, Deanna. They were sure stepping some. And did you see way up there in front, in his red car, was a fire chief, you know?
Sure I did. Oh, Mr. Wallington, that's the name of our gasoline. Why do they call it fire chief?
Well, Deanna, ordinary gasoline just isn't good enough for fire engines. They need a gasoline that gives them faster starts in any weather, full power and speed.
You mean like the ones that just went by?
That's right, Deanna. Well, Texaco found a way to make the special kind of gasoline fire engines need. The word chief means leader, foremost, the greatest. That's why they call it fire chief.
And do fire chiefs really use it?
You bet they do, Deanna. And so do thousands and thousands of car owners every day, because they have found that fire chief saves the money and costs no more than the gasoline they used to use.
Oh, Deanna, you know I've been looking all over for you.
Mayor Cantor, I've been looking for you, too.
You have?
Yes, sir. I have a birthday present for you. Here it is.
Oh, Deanna, Dolly. Honestly, you know, sometimes I've... What a pretty pair of bedroom slippers. But wait, there's only one here. What?
I know. I'll get you the other one on your next birthday. Yep.
I know, Deanna, but why? Why on my next birthday?
Well, that's one way of making sure I'll be on this program. Yep.
Say, that's an idea. He gives me... Look, I'm going to take this slipper and send it to the head of Texaco.
What for?
That's one way of making sure I'll be on this program. Sing, Deanna, because...
Thank you.
Thank you, Deanna. Your birthday present enough for anybody. But I can't help thinking here, ladies and gentlemen, what a lovely birthday present the president got yesterday. They sent him Gene Harlow. Oh, I'm telling you. That's another reason why the Republicans are going to be sore. Why they couldn't send Gene Harlow during their administration. But it would be a very smart thing, and I'm sure Roosevelt is smart enough, to keep Gene Harlow from now on in Washington. Imagine if he's up against a stubborn Senate or a Congress. He wants to get a bill passed. He sends over Gene Harlow, and she says, "Boys, pass this bill for Jeannie, will you?" They'll not only pass the bill, they'll probably pay the bills for her. And, you know, she can be used by Miss Perkins, you know, the Secretary of Labor. In all these sit-down strikes, she'll send Gene Harlow. You know, nobody's going to sit down when she comes, you know. And, you know, one thing that I do know that might be very smart. The president's always having a little trouble with the Supreme Court justices on the Constitution. Now he can frame them very good. He runs a band. There's only one girl there, Gene Harlow. They all come in. Everyone is dancing with Gene Harlow. Can you imagine Chief Justice Hughes dancing with Gene Harlow? Giving out that business, you know? You know, he'd forget about the whole Constitution, you know that? It'll be the greatest movement ever brought before the court. You know? And, oh, wait a minute. James Farley is threatening to quit. He doesn't want to be the postmaster anymore. There is a job for Gene Harlow. She knows more about post office than anybody that's ever been in Washington. My friend, enough kidding about this. Today is my birthday, and so I want to thank you for having given me that which money can buy, your loyalty, your warm-hearted support. For that, I am so grateful. And at this time, I offer you a message in song. We're only here so long, no more. You simply can't go wrong. You'll find, if you bear this in mind, get out in the sun, get under the moon, enjoy every hour of the day. 'Cause you can't take it with you, you can't take it with you. So have your fun while you may. A bird in a tree is happy and free if he learns to talk. He would say, oh, you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you. So have your fun while you may. Life is a song and not a bowl of cherry if you've got the proper point of view. Life is a song. It really is a berry when you're in love and someone loves you. You work and you slave, you skimp and you save, so you make a million a day. Oh, you can take it with you, you can take it with you. So live and love and be gay, and have your fun while you may. You know, I'm no philosopher, but I just like to say that we should do something for someone each day. 'Cause you can take it with you. No, sir. You can take it with you. So while passing through life, help those on the way. Forget this thing known as greed. And when you do a good deed, your heart will be happy and gay. 'Cause you can take it with you. You cannot take it with you. So give of yourself while you may. While life is a song, and we should keep on singing just as long as we can. Yes, indeed. Life is a song. If only we keep bringing happiness to those who are in need. Why, the money we own is merely a loan. Ask any wise man and he'll say, oh, you can take it with you. You can take it with you, so give while you live and be gay, and have your fun while you may. Thank you, and at this time I want to thank Irving Berlin for his graciousness in coming down and making such a healthy contribution to our program. And remember,
I love to spend each Sunday with you. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, you must know that Eddie was only fooling about the lack of birthday remembrance. He has received many, many messages of goodwill. The thing that would please him most would be for you to drive into your Texaco station tonight or tomorrow to thank the dealer who makes Texaco Town possible. Eddie Cantor and Texaco Town will come to you again next Sunday evening at the same hour. In the meantime, whenever you hear the siren and bell, think of Texaco Fire Chief Gasoline. James Wallington speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
P.M. BULOVA Boulevard Watch Time, WABC, New York.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio with Texaco Town, starring Eddie Cantor, first broadcast on radio on January 31st, 1937. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s, when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, from 1951, here's an episode of Ma Perkins starring Virginia Payne as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
For a wash that's sparkling clean with less rinsing work, use new Deep Cleaning Oxidol. With just one rinse, Oxidol is deep cleaning, deep cleaning, deep cleaning. You know, there's been a lot of talk about new developments in wash day products recently, but the news that really has women talking these days is new deep cleaning Oxidol. Now, you've probably heard all about no-rinse suds, but common sense tells you that no-rinse suds just can't get out all the dirt. If you've tried no-rinse suds, you've found out through personal experience that they always leave in a certain amount of graying dirt, and that's what makes the news about new Oxidol all the more amazing. For new Oxidol saves your rinsing and gets out the graying dirt, too. It's designed to get clothes deep clean with just one rinse. Yes, with just one rinse, new deep cleaning Oxidol gets out graying dirt that no rinse suds leave in. And with just one rinse, new deep cleaning Oxidol washes clothes cleaner of dulling film than any other leading soap with two rinses. Now, Oxidol can do this because it reaches deep down into the fibers of clothes, loosens dirt, lifts it up, and floats it away. Clothes come out sparkling clean, deep clean, gloriously white, beautifully soft, wonderfully sweet smelling. And Oxidol is grand for washable colors, too. So ask your dealer for this amazing new Oxidol in the same familiar package. Remember, with just one rinse, Oxidol is deep cleaning, deep cleaning, deep cleaning. And now for Ma Perkins. Well, Faye's been waiting all week, but still no letter from Spencer Grayson in New York. Of course, Faye knows Spencer must be fairly busy catching up on work after his month's vacation in Rushville Center, and for that matter, Faye is pretty busy herself, getting back to the familiar household routine again.
Well, today, Faye and Ma have gone marketing. After lunch, before Ma goes back to the lumberyard. Now, as they're coming down the street, laden with groceries... Listen.
Golly, Ma, if I... No, we were going to have so many bundles, we could have taken the car.
Oh, I don't mind toting a few things.
A few things?
You need some help, dear?
Now, wait a minute while I shift these oranges over into second gear. Getting a crick in my left arm. Whew, there.
Mm-hmm. I believe Grocery Brown should have given you two bags. Looks like they're going to pop through any minute.
No, I've got them. As long as nobody bumps into me suddenly or slaps me on the back or makes me laugh, I'm perfectly okay.
Well, we're almost home. Old Ann, we should have stopped off at the post office and looked for Maya.
I looked.
Oh?
There was nothing. Of course, there may be mail at the house. The noon delivery had already gone out.
Oh, yes. That's so.
And besides, the magazines don't come till tomorrow. And... Oh!
What is it, say?
A man coming down the library steps carrying the books. That looks like Tom Wells.
Who? Oh, yes, that friend of Mr. Grayson's you told me.
Well, wait a minute, Ma. Maybe he's going the other way. We won't have to talk to him.
Why, Faye, that wouldn't be very polite, dear.
Well, if he doesn't see us, he wasn't such an awfully good friend of Spencer's. Oh, no. Oh, dear, he's turning right toward us. We'll have to say hello.
Oh, why, of course we will. You know, I noticed that boy around town once or twice. He's got a very nice face. He looks like he ain't had a real home-cooked meal since Van knows when.
Oh, now, Ma. Don't start fluttering your wings over him. Tom Wells is very definitely the sort of man who can take care of himself.
Looks mighty thin.
Well, a lot of people are thin. Now, we'll hurry by quickly, Ma, and I'll just sort of nod hello.
But, Faye, well... Oh, yes, as you please, dear.
Come on, Ma. Oh, no. Oh, golly. Oh, the oranges.
Oh, Lander Goshen, I knew that bag wouldn't hold. Here, I'll put this package down.
No, I can get them.
Stay
where you are, Mrs. Henderson. I'll collect those oranges.
But how do you do, Mr. Wells?
Well, now, where will we put them? I'll try to make room in this sack of potatoes here.
All right, but let me take those potatoes. You're not going to carry anything more, Ma.
You better count them. I've got two more in my pocket. Oh, three. Oh, shove those books back under my arm, will you, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, how many oranges were there? Full dozen?
No, only nine.
Oh, good. One more, then. Oh, see it. Rolled off the curb.
Well, he seems like a very nice young man, Faye.
Here we are. Now, where are you going to stash these? That package looks pretty full.
I reckon we can fit in one more.
I've still got three in my pockets.
Maybe we better make you a present of those.
Well, thanks. There's no fee for this job.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I didn't
mean... You know, in my time, Mrs. Henderson, a girl used to drop a handkerchief to attract a man's attention. Not a whole bag of oranges.
Attract your attention? I wasn't even going to say hello. Oh.
That's what I thought.
Well, I didn't mean that
It's nice to meet you at last, Mr. Wells. I've been hearing so much about you from Faye and Mr. Grayson. I'm Mrs. Perkins.
Yes, I know. A lot of people in this town have pointed out Ma Perkins.
Heavens to Betsy, I didn't know I was some kind of landmark.
Oh, no. More of a trademark, I think. I'm told it wouldn't be Rushville Center without Ma Perkins.
Now ain't folks kind.
Thank you for helping us, Mr. Wells. We better be getting on, Ma.
I still have three of your oranges in my pocket.
Well, if you'd care to walk a ways with us, Mr. Wells, we're only a block from home.
That's one way of getting those oranges in my pocket delivered.
Special delivery.
Let me take that package, Mrs. Henderson.
I can manage. You have your books.
Oh, no, don't argue. Unless, of course, you want to carry the books. It's been a long time since a girl carried my books home from school.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's not make a production of it. Here, you're welcome to carry the package.
Thank you.
Have you found a pleasant place to stay in Rushville Center, Mr. Wells?
I've got a room at Miss Foster's.
Oh, yes, the cleaning lady.
Huh?
But there's no meals served there.
Oh, well, that's okay. I work at a diner.
Oh, yes, of course.
In fact, I'm on my way back there now.
Oh, well, then we're taking you out of your way. You'll miss your bus.
No. I always walk, Mrs. Perkins. Or, should I say Ma Perkins?
Please do. Everyone else does.
All right. If you'll call me Tom. Everyone else does. At least around the diner.
Why, thank you very much, Tom. Fine, strong name.
Are you planning to stay in town indefinitely, Mr. Wells?
I couldn't say, Mrs. Henderson. You see, right now I'm just bumming around for my health.
Your health? Well, this is a fine town, just to take it easy. That is, if you're taking it easy.
Well, easy enough. Which reminds me, Mrs. Henderson, what's the latest news from our mutual friend?
I beg your pardon?
I wondered how the great man is making out back in New York.
Oh, you mean Spencer?
Mm-hmm, my friend, Captain Grayson. Did he survive the rigors of the long trip east in his covered wagon? Or was it a Cadillac?
Yes, it was a Cadillac. Any other information you'd like?
How many miles does he get to the gallon?
I can't give any information about his trip since Mr. Grayson hasn't written to me yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry for. He's only been gone a week.
Yes, I know, of course.
My, it certainly is a small world, Mr. Wells. Tom, imagine you're running into a friend from the war away out here where neither of you live.
Yes, it's too small a world. You see, Captain Grayson is an old ghost of mine. I keep running into connections of his in all parts of the world.
All parts of the world? Goodness. Sounds like you've traveled a lot.
Mostly 30,000 feet up.
Oh. Oh, yes, that's so. You was in the Air Force.
Well, I'm strictly a pedestrian now. That narrows things down.
You say you've met other connections of Spencer's?
In the past. Here and there. Now and then.
What were they like?
They were like people. Real. Like you. Or Ma Perkins. At least they were in the beginning.
Well, what do you mean, in the beginning?
Nothing. And they weren't a bit like you, actually. English, Polish, Italian.
Italian?
Yes, why? Does that mean something to you?
Oh, no. No, it's just, well, Spencer spoke of a friend who went to Italy recently on her honeymoon, I believe. I don't suppose you've met her.
No. I don't suppose I've met half of Spencer's friends.
Oh, well, here we are at the house. Would you step in for a minute, Tom?
Well, thanks, Ma. I've got to get on to the diner.
Well, some other time, then.
I'll take my package now, Mr. Wells. You can tuck those three oranges in at the top.
I'll be glad to roll them right up to the front door.
It's been very nice seeing you, Tom. Be sure and drop in sometime.
Thank you, Ma Perkins. Goodbye, Mrs. Henderson.
Goodbye. Oh. There's something about Tom Wells that just... Didn't you want to shake him, Ma?
Len, no. I'd like to feed him up if I could.
All those remarks he made about Spencer.
For that part, I couldn't make out what neither one of you was saying.
There's just no excuse for anybody to be so cynical and rude.
Why, Faye, you told me that boy had a hard time since the war. Getting adjusted and all.
Oh, yes, you're right, of course. Ma, I believe if the devil himself walked up on this porch, you'd start making allowances.
Let's get those packages in the house. Faye, look. There's a letter in the box.
Oh, Ma. Yes. Yes, it is.
Ah, well. You take your letter along inside and go upstairs and read it.
Oh. No. I can read it here. It's an ad from the Vogue beauty shop.
Oh, is that what it is?
They cordially invite all the ladies of Rushville Center to come in and relax. I can't relax. I'm getting jumpy, Ma. That's why I was so mean to Tom Wells. Oh, won't Spencer ever write?
Homemakers everywhere say new deep cleaning Oxidol is the greatest wash day product they've ever used. For this wonderful new Oxidol not only gets clothes deep clean, it saves rinsing, too. With just one rinse, new deep cleaning Oxidol gets out the graying dirt no rinse suds leave in. And with just one rinse, new deep cleaning Oxidol washes clothes cleaner of dulling film than any other leading soap with two rinses. You see, new Oxidol reaches deep down into the fibers, loosens the dirt, and floats it away.
And that's why with just one rinse, your clothes look clean, feel clean, smell clean. Because they are clean. Oxydol Deep Clean. And new Oxydol is wonderful for washable colors, too. So ask your dealer for this amazing new deep cleaning Oxydol. Remember, with just one rinse, Oxydol gets out graying dirt and washes clothes cleaner of dulling film than any other leading soap with two rinses. With just one rinse, Oxydol is deep cleaning. Deep cleaning. Deep cleaning. Where is that letter from Spencer? Has he some reason for not writing? Well, there's happiness in store for Faye tomorrow. But now this is Charlie Warren inviting you to listen again tomorrow to Oxydol's own Ma Perkins. Same time, same station. For a wash that's sparkling clean with less rinsing work, use new deep cleaning Oxydol. With just one rinse, Oxydol is deep cleaning. Deep cleaning. Deep cleaning.
Only a madman or a fool would intentionally set fire to one of our forests or woodlands. Yet 90% of our forest fires are started by people. Most of these man-caused fires are due to plain carelessness. A campfire left smoldering. A lighted match thrown from a car window. A cigarette not extinguished. In less troubled times, the waste due to forest fires would be tragic. In these dangerous times, it can be disastrous. Forest fires destroy natural resources we need to keep our country strong. They impede the production and transportation of critical defense supplies, interfere with military training, and may destroy military installations. Join in the fight against carelessness. Crush out cigarettes, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break matches in two after using. Drown all campfires, then stir and drown again. Find out the law before using a fire. One moment of carelessness can destroy national beauty and wealth that can never be replaced. Forest fires are a shameful waste because they can be prevented. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires.
Last night I told my heart's love all under the pale blue sky, eagerly waiting an answer I plainly could read in her eyes. I love you, sweetheart, I love you. Face turned pale and she trembled, and sadly to me she replied, I cannot be your sweetheart, I cannot stay by your side. One is waiting up yonder, one is claiming his bride. My heart is almost broken, your vows only add to my pain. I love you, sweetheart, I love you, though we may never meet again. Sweetheart, I cannot stay by your side. One is waiting up yonder, one has claimed me his bride. My heart is almost broken, your vows only add to my pain. I love you, sweetheart, I love you, though we may never meet again.
the golden age of radio on WMKY. The Carter Family with I Cannot Be Your Sweetheart from 1934. We also heard an episode of Ma Perkins starring Virginia Payne, first broadcast on radio on January 25th, 1951. This has been the golden age of radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the golden age of radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.